Not only do I stop by Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Tyler, shout out.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths the media has created of just follow the money.
Or fading?
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on the drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, there it is. T-Mill's best bets. We do it every night around this time. As T-Mill, he's been having a pretty good week. Pretty good week thus far. In the green every day. Last night, the only thing that got him was A.J. Brown. And that's a tough one because A.J. Brown had three receptions. Really should have had four. Drake May, like, people talking about his throws yesterday. That underthrow that should have been a touchdown in the end zone to A.J. Brown was awful. I mean, that was about 10 yards. That should have been thrown, like, in the middle to the back of the end zone. That thing, A.J. had to come back to the field of play. He was clear. So that would have been another reception. But that was the only one that Tyler lost last night. But there is some more NFL football, so I'm guessing he's going to go in that direction. Again, what you got for T-Mill's best bets? By the way, you can find all of his bets, if you don't hear him every night, at Space City Sharp on Twitter. Space City Sharp. He also has other things to help you with your betting needs. What you got?
Well, just trying to get the people, the Drive family, where we are, where I am. I mean, I got maroon money. I got deep pockets. We are 4-6 to start the week. I'm trying to get the people there with me. Trying to put money in their pockets. You might want to tail because if we hit on these tonight, it is 100% going to be a heater that is going on for best bets.
100%.
More football after our first slate of football wagers last night. That was very profitable and successful. Rams and 49ers in Australia, down under. I got the Rams -3 to cover the points. Rams -3. I know that's been fluctuating today between 3 and 4, 4.5-ish. I got it at -3. I'd probably take it at -4 as well for the Rams. I'm also, once again, on the under, much like last night. Do not expect this many points to be scored at all, especially not with that Rams defense out on the field. 49 points, under 49 points for the Rams and Niners in Australia tonight. And your third and final best bet for this game is going to be that dude, the Aggie. Mr. Automatic, 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Mike Evans.
There we go. There we go.
Over 3.5 receptions for Mike. That's it.
I wouldn't expect anything less than a heart bet from you. Just one good heart bet.
Always got the one in there, doesn't he?
He does.
It's usually the one that I don't hit.
No, that's not true. I like this one.
I do wonder how he is used.
The thinking for me is much like we were thinking about A.J. Brown last night. Like, he's with his new squad. He's an established veteran. I think they're going to go to him early and often. Now, he wouldn't get all pissy like A.J. Brown, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I wonder, because I don't know if Brock has had a player like this. Because Mike, I think, takes people some players and quarterbacks used to playing with Mike. Because Mike is open covered. And you got to put it up there at times when he is covered.
Yeah.
Because he can go up and just make plays, or it doesn't appear he's getting separation as soon as you go there. And I wonder if Brock Purdy, we'll see how he adjusts to them. But like, would you say, is he the number? Is it Ricky Pearsall? Maybe
he's hurt.
Is he hurt too?
Yep.
Is he hurt? So maybe
that,
he is.
That power station right there got him.
That got him.
He's
That's
hurt.
Right. And
they got the young kid they drafted. Everybody thought they overdrafted out of Ole Miss.
Yeah. And so maybe he does get there. Ricky Pearsall being out. George Kittle is back tonight. So that could be a good bet there for him. There it is. T-Mill's best bet. As we do them every single night here on the drive at this time. See if you can win a little cash. See if we can come in tomorrow. Well, we'll be at Oak and Iron. Remember, come hang out with us tomorrow, Football Friday. Oak and Iron, come have some drinks, make some bad decisions, have a good time with us as we get you ready for the first Football Friday of the year. That's right. And we'll, it's Ron. And we'll see. Rob's not going out there. Tell his ass to stay home.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. But, yeah, hopefully Tyler gets some wins at T-Mill's Best Bets when we get in tomorrow. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, John McClain and Aiden Fisher stop by the show tonight. So the Hall of Famer, John McClain, Aiden Fisher, will be on with the fellas, Mark and John, on Texans All Access. And, again, as the same as yesterday, no Area 45, as we will be airing courtesy of Westwood One, no Area 45, the Rams and the 49ers game tonight. You can hear right here driving around on 95.7 The Fan. So there you go there with tonight. All right, Clint, we heard from Nick Caserio, Nick Caley, excuse me, the OC for the Texans earlier, and he talked about several things, including his relationship with being a second-year play caller. He talked about your favorite, communication. That became a theme almost of the press conference that was talked about, and that question was posed to him several different ways. Here he was here's C.J. Stroud, excuse me, talking about the communication piece that Nick Caley talked a ton about today.
We've been able to communicate better, and then just showing what I like, what I don't like, you know, and he does the same thing. And I think, you know, we're just getting better. You know, I'm understanding where he's coming from more, and he's doing the same for me.
That's been a big conversation piece compared to what they were doing last year.
Yeah.
And we heard it, like we said, a lot today. If you missed that, he was on about 15 minutes, took a lot of questions today from the media in the 3 o'clock hour, at 3 o'clock, if you want to look back at that on the Odyssey app. Overall, with that, hearing about CJ and him talking about communication and where they are and everything that it holds, are you in a space right now where you're feeling better about the OC Nick Caley? As at the point that we've arrived to week one, which is Sunday, and this entire offseason, everything they've implemented, what they've done in year two, and everything we're hearing, are you in a space where you're feeling better about Nick Caley going into this game than you did at the start of the offseason? Has anything shifted for you?
No, nothing shifted. I mean, you know, we're not going to be able to tell, you know, who and what Nick Caley's about until rubber meets the road in year two. We'll see what kind of progress he's made and how he's grown and matured as a play caller. We won't see that until we get real game action. The offseason, I've seen some things that I like. You know, I like the variety in the screen game that we saw this offseason. I thought there was we saw him talking about, you know, stuff talking about sense of urgency in and out of the huddle. I think there's evidence of that on tape. In the limited action the first team got, there's evidence of that. You know, I do like some of the things that I saw in the preseason, but man, it's, you know, once you get beyond your first 10 or 15 plays in a game, there's so much that goes on in terms of just feel. You know, your offense really gets exposed at that point of like, are you really able to build your offense around players, or do you revert back to what you like?
Yeah.
Right? And that's the fear with Nick Caley, is that when the script is up and it's second quarter, maybe through the second quarter, and you're in your third or fourth drive, and the defense on the sidelines made a couple of adjustments, and does he know how to counterpunch? Does his offense show that, hey, all offseason, we've been building ways to get Nico Collins looks and touches and targets in critical moments, no matter what the down and distance is? You know, those kind of things to me are the only way to really gauge where Nick Caley's at. I mean, there's nothing in camp, in practices, in preseason games that really tells you much.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't know exactly where, you know, what the adjustments are, what the second year is going to be. Because One, they've got new personnel. There's some new personnel and personnel that they didn't have access to at times last year. Like the tight end room is different, especially the start of the season. There was no Brevin Jordan last year. There was no really Cade Stover was out so long, and then, you know, you could tell he was affected by the injuries that he had. Marlon Klein didn't exist. The offensive line is different. And again, like you said, they haven't, and maybe the Texans have done so in practice that we haven't seen as much of, but in practice to confuse. But like teams like the Raiders and the Panthers, they weren't really showing them like, all right, man, we're game planning to stop this and to do this. That's the thing for me is, what does he do? Two things for me with him is, what does he do to adjust to things that teams do to him and his offense, and then adjust to have an answer to that? And then for me, is he able to do things in his offense or have to bring in other ways of doing this to get the best out of his players? Is he able to get the best out of Nico? Is he able to put Marks in the best position to get the best out of him? Because he has some players, Clint, that can be close, either difference makers or close to it, if you can get the best out of them. And those are things we will not find out until we see them line up against Buffalo.
Because there's nothing that's been timed either, right? You got four quarters to go out there and win a ball game. Do you have the ability to get Nico Collins the football in multiple different ways so that he can impact the game throughout? Or does it just come in spurts in the third quarter and maybe a little bit early on in the first quarter? Do you have the ability to do it throughout? You know, you mentioned Woody Marks, just the overall run game. He's been tasked with, you know, what many believe this run game has to be a top half of the league run game. You know, what has he done? How does he get that accomplished from a play-calling perspective? We talked about it all day, the pressure that this offense and C.J. Stroud wasn't able to handle in the past. They're going to get those looks. Like, is his offense prepared to have answers for those looks?
Yeah.
You know, I think those are ways to gauge Nick Caley. There's really just not much at all in practice that you can pull from.
Yeah, until it starts to get real. And that's coming. That's coming on Sunday. Tomorrow, however, we will be out at Oak and Iron one more time. Come hang out with us as Football Friday. I'm excited. Football Friday is back at it. We'll be out there. Clint, great job. As always, Tyler, fantastic job. Texans All Access, John McClain coming up behind us. I am Ron, the show, Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, "What's up, cracker?"
I just don't believe Tyler, did you really text that to him?
It was relevant that day to a conversation they were having where they mentioned cracker. I didn't just like randomly like, "Hey, what up, cracker?"
I don't know if that's what you. I didn't know that's how you. If that's what you said, what's up to you guys? Maybe you and Clint, you text Clint that or Blaine or somebody.
It's not my go-to usually.
Not your go-to?
No, I'm more likely to be like, "What up, Turbo?" or "Chief" or "Big Guy."
I just hadn't heard. I didn't know that was your normal.
You put Chief in the middle of Turbo and Big Guy.
Oh, I didn't mean anything personal by that.
I'm just telling you.
That's what the whites used to do.
Brought to you by...
You coming?
T-Mills in the hole!
There you go.